Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hello, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to the United Stand. We are in the final. How are you feeling? I'm okay. A lot of people say, I bet you're hungover. I'm real this morning. This is your latest Manchester United news. It's time to go to work. We've got talk that Arsenal are in talks with Cunha. Gyökeres has sent his transfer message as well. And Man United are in the final. Yes. So look, how are you all feeling this morning? Got a great message here from Rookie who says, me and my partner are getting married tomorrow. Could you please say hello to my partner, Caroline, and wishes a happy wedding day from to be husband, Ross. There you go. Good luck tomorrow and congratulations. Love all that. And congratulations to us, Manchester United. We are in the final. But I tell you what, Amrim said after the game, he's stressed. I got to say, last night I celebrated. Today we go to work. One game more. That's what it's all about now. And I've just recorded a video with Robbie that's going to go on That's Football in a couple of hours' time. And, he asked me about the final. And I said, in all honesty, I need a place to go if we lose this game. Like, no internet, no football fans, 2 months, just disappear. That is the all or nothing I was talking about last night. This really is all or nothing. There's a lot of people celebrating and I want the positivity, but it's time to go to bloody work. You know, semi-final win, nothing. Final lose, everything. Final win, everything. This is the message. We've got to go to work now. We have to make sure no stone is uncovered. We have to get this right. It's imperative. I mean, look, we're all celebrating that Leon comeback. We're all celebrating what we did against Bilbao. None of it means anything if you lose to Spurs in the final. That's the jeopardy. Like, we're still where we were at Christmas. If we don't win this Europa League, our season and our next season is done. I mean, I can write you the headlines. We will talk about Cunha and Arsenal talks. They've stunned me as well. I've only just seen it in the last 5 minutes coming in from Ben Jacobs. I don't know why we missed that. Probably because we had a final to play, a final to get into. But it is a true story. But look, you know what? Let me just throw a few realisms at you. First of all, if Tell scores the winner in the Europa League final in 2 weeks' time, so Jim Radcliffe should walk. Like, that would be the most expensive mistake in our history to say we can't afford £8 million for the loan deal. I've been worried about that for months. It's always been, you know, football throws up these stories. What if Tell scores the winner in the last minute? You know, what? That's on United. That's on Sir Jim Radcliffe. So there's that. What if we lose the final? All the Amrim out crowd who haven't disappeared, they're just hiding behind smiles. Probably wearing sunglasses this morning and fake smiles, hiding the truth. They'll all be coming back as well. You know, the league will be our worst ever league season. We'll have lost to Spurs in a final. It would be horrific. And I'm not even joking. Like, if we lose the final to Spurs, that is like, you are the biggest ridicule banter club in the world. And look at your league table. And we're not in Europe next season. I mean, I can't think. People moan about money in football. People moan about six clubs being in the Champions League. I actually think football in many ways was better 20 years ago. But then I look at some of the changes that are happening in football and I'm opposed to change. I'm in my 40s. Of course I am. That, you know, stereotypically, we don't like change. But I've got to say, I can't remember a game in Man United's history that has had so much jeopardy in it. Now, obviously, 68, you know, that's real. You know, what happened in 58 and, you know, the 10-year journey to win that, that was just a football club that was broken and it came back. That we'll never have a better story than that. 99, we're losing, and we're not going to win the treble going into the 90th minute, and we win it. You know, unbelievable. 08, we did it on penalties. They're all bigger games, but the contrast is what I'm talking about here. I'm not saying this is the biggest game in our history, far from it, but the jeopardy is incredible. You win, you're in the Champions League, you get more money, you start progressing, you're positive. You lose, you don't get the money, you're not in Europe, you can't get the players. This could be, you know, like winning this game, and you get the trophy, of course, but winning this game and losing this, I think losing the game could set us back 3 years, winning the game could put us back on track. And how often does a game of football be that profound? And it's the same for Spurs, but I don't care. But it literally does set us back years or put us on track. 90 minutes. How you deal with that as a manager, and he's already said it after the game that he's stressed. I'm stressed. I'm excited, but I'm stressed. Seb said to me this morning before I took him to school, can I stay up and watch the game? And I said, yes, of course you can. But when he left the room, I thought, please don't ask me if we're going to win. I can't give you that as a father. I can't. I'm not saying you're my children. I'm saying that, you know, hypothetically to my son. I can't guarantee that win. But what I will say is, when you can't guarantee the win, it makes the win even better. When the win is in under scrutiny and you win, that's when it becomes epic. So we've got an amazing game in 2 weeks' time. Absolutely amazing. And I think some people might say, oh, you're being a bit melodramatic, this, that, and the other. I'm being real. I think we have to be real. We have to be eyes wide open. You have to know. It's like they say, you've got to appreciate the rain if you want the rainbow. And we've got to understand the pitfalls if we want to survive. You know, it's like Batman when he climbs out of that big hole in Dark Knight and rises. And, you know, it's a risk. He's got to make the jump. If he misses the jump, he's going to break his neck. But if he doesn't take that jump, he's never going to escape. And that's pretty much United. We've got to make this jump. Nobody's, you know, we're not, we've got to. And if we make it, we're out. If we miss it, we don't get another chance. We fall a long way and we break our neck. And that's where we're at. It's exciting, but God, is it stressful. I actually don't really care about Spurs in this. I don't really care about what any other fan thinks. I'm not interested in the banter final. I'm not interested in, I've got Spurs fans who are messaging me. I'm not replying to them. I really don't care about, oh, imagine if we, I don't give a shit about your smiling emojis. I don't care about your banter. I'm not going to sit there with a Spurs fan and have a chat before it. I'm deadly serious. Like, this is not banter. This is not fun. This is not, ooh, what's going to happen? This is not for clicks. This is real. This is Man United's future in 90 minutes. This is serious. And the loser is in big trouble. And the winner survives. I ain't pissing about with this. I'm not going on no bloody game show and sitting opposite, you know, some bloody, I don't know, Glenn Hoddle or anything like that. No, this is real. This is absolutely real. No smiling, no fucking about. Players, manager, fans, this is real. We've got to get this job done. Absolutely got to get this job done. One game more. Anyway, we're here on a news show as well. We just can't piss about. That. I'm telling you now, if you thought Aguero was bad, we went and won the league next season. We came second in the league. Tal, Son, Solanke. We ain't coming back from this. We ain't coming back from this. I am nervous, Swizzle. I've always said we're going to win the Europa League, and that's the line, and it's been there since Christmas. I think we're going to win it, but I appreciate what I said last night as well. I don't want the favourites tag. I don't want the favourites tag. Where's all this favourites tag come from? Hold on a minute. Talk shit. Sky. Ex-players. Journalists. Amrim out. Oh, I thought we were shit, lads and ladies. I thought we were a joke. Amrim, you know, I thought we were absolutely shit. Suddenly we're favourites for a final because we're Manchester United. Hold on a minute. I thought we weren't Manchester United. I thought we were Manchester United in name. I thought we were behaving like Everton. I thought we were bloody... have I missed something? Or have Spurs beat us three times in our last three games? Have I missed something, or is it like teams like Bournemouth that have come to Old Trafford and wiped the arse with us? So, hold on a minute. We're not favourites. We're not favourites because we're Manchester United and we've won more trophies. They're favourites. They can have the bloody pressure. I don't want it. Anyway, look, lots to get into on the show this morning. But what I will say is, as a warning, if we lose this game, you are going to see a light switch on Amrin. They'll all come back. Press, ex-players, certain fans, they'll all be there within a minute of us losing it. I told you it's a system. I told you he's not the right guy. So see it for what it is. This game. One game more. Spurs already won three times, but Amrin will win the match, says JE. I love the positivity, but I don't know where it's coming from. I think you can be excited, but I don't think nobody's going to sit down and tell me that we're going to win that game comfortably, because it ain't going to happen. A positive is that a lot of these players had a similar situation in the FA Cup against a much better City team. That got us Europe last season. That experience has to count for something, says Patrick. I'll say it again. We all know the issues with Man United, but we've got one shot, one game to salvage something. Let's win it first, sort the rest out later. We're winning this, says John. Hi, Mark. Cheers from Macedonia, says Marco. One day there'll be a documentary of this season, says Orange. And me and I've done that one from Rookie. Well, yeah, get your thoughts in. Thanks, everyone. Okay, let me hit a bit of news this morning because it is a news show. We can always divert back. We know that. But some big news coming in this morning. I completely missed it. I've got to put my hands up and say I did a Timo Werner. I missed this. And I don't know why I missed it, but I did. So Ben Jacobs has basically said this. Arsenal have had fresh contact for Cunha with debate within the club over making a move. There is a new meeting scheduled between Arsenal sporting director Berta and Cunha's camp. Newcastle are also still in the race. What the hell is going on here? Like, I'm sorry. Forgive me, but I'm still labouring under the here we go soon story from 2 weeks ago. I'm still labouring under Cunha wants Man United. What do you mean he's having talks with Arsenal? What the hell? What the hell is all that all about? Goes on to say Man United are still viewed as the front runners for Cunha and talks over terms are set to continue in the next few days. Cunha has already agreed to the sporting project and discussions over financials are ongoing. He wants to decide his next club before the season ends. I'm not having this. I tell you what, if this turns into another bloody Griezmann, I'm going to lose it. I'm going to absolutely lose it. Get the bloody deal done. I'm not having Cunha like being, yeah, wants to come to Man United, doesn't care about Champions League football, wants to be part of the project, wants to come to Man United, and then, oh, he's off to Arsenal. We're not doing this. We're not doing this. And this is what I mean about thin ice. You win the Europa League, you sign Cunha. We'll talk about Gyökeres in a minute. Happy days. You lose the Europa League, Cunha goes to Arsenal, Gyökeres goes to Arsenal, and we're, you know. So, look, I can only give you the news. Some people are saying it's a load of BS. Hopefully it is, but that is there, and I missed it last night because obviously we were very busy. But that came in at about 6:30 last night. It's on the MUFC MPB page. It's from Ben Jacobs. Arsenal are going to hold talks and are considering making a move for Cunha. They were very close to doing something with him in January. I can give you two scenarios here. Worst case scenario, Arsenal had said they're not interested, so Cunha decided he was going to Man United. Now Arsenal are interested. He pricks his ear up and goes, that's where I really want to go. Best case scenario, he just wants to come to Man United no matter what. He's going to listen to other offers because that helps him go back to Man United and say, they're offering me this. Are you going to offer me more? And you're basically just trying to get your best wage, but you want to go to Man United. They are the two scenarios. I'm not going to tell you what I think's happening here because I don't want to be the prat that goes, I don't think he cares about Arsenal. He wants to come to Man United. I hope that's the case. And I hope that's the update we're going to get. Look, in fairness, pretty much everybody is saying that. But you can't dispute the fact that that is a story coming out about Arsenal holding talks with Cunha. And we've got no divine right to say, why are you having talks with Arsenal? Why are you having talks with Newcastle? If I was an agent, I would have those talks just to see what they've got to say. But maybe it's not the open goal we thought it was. Maybe there is a little bit of maneuverability here. But it can only be enhanced by us winning this game in 2 weeks. I think all roads go to Bilbao. And I think if you win, there's nothing Arsenal can really say. There's nothing Newcastle can really say because we're in the Champions League as well. So it all comes back to that, doesn't it? But am I concerned about that this morning? I'm more concerned about Spurs in 2 weeks, to be honest with you, because if we don't win the Champions League, we might pull out the deal anyway. Sorry, if we don't win the Europa League, we might pull out the deal anyway. But yeah, I suppose what I will say is it was about 2 weeks ago when we were told here we go is going to be coming very, very soon. And we're 2 weeks later. I don't class that as very soon. I'm sorry. And this is why when people say something's close or, you know, it's getting really close, I'd rather people said in the next week. Because 2 weeks ain't very close in my book. You know, it isn't. So what's going on? Were we led up the garden path a little bit? Look, his release clause doesn't kick in till the end of the season. But that doesn't mean we can't get a deal agreed. Sal says, the only player who scares me is Onana. He's lost two finals. Says Sal, look, we've got to be careful of Superman in the final, haven't we? I mean, is it a bird? Is it a plane? No, it's Onana going with two hands for a shot. He should go with one. But we've got to build these players up. That's what we've got to do. We've got to build these players up for the final because the best we've got. Onana has to be the goalkeeper in the final. Has to be the goalkeeper in the final, of course.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply. Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply.
The second story I wanted to bring you was coming in from the Telegraph yesterday, and it effectively said that in relation to Gyökeres, Victor Gyökeres is expected to prioritise a move to Arsenal over Manchester United. Gyökeres has told Amorim he would consider joining United only if he is guaranteed Champions League football. That came in from the Telegraph yesterday evening before the game as well. I think that, look, I don't have a problem with this. I think we've got it as our sort of title, Gyökeres's transfer message. I think some people tried to twist this because of what Amorim said a couple of weeks ago about we only want players who want to play for Manchester United, not players who want to play in the Champions League. And we had a bit of a back and forth on this. I genuinely don't care. I don't think there are many players out there that are going, look at what Trent's done with Liverpool. Like, I don't think there are many players out there now that are going, I don't care whether Man United are in a relegation battle. I just want to play for Man United. We're Manchester United. There's not many players like that. So I think it's unfair to sort of twist the fan base into we shouldn't want players if they want to play in the Champions League. As I say, for me, if I'm Gyökeres and I'm looking at Man United or Arsenal, I want to go to Man United. But if Man United lose that Europa League final, I look at the next 3 years and I go, that club's fucked. I'll go to Arsenal. I understand that. I don't think that's a mercenary. I think that's somebody who is ambitious and wants to win and looks at the pathway of two clubs and quite rightly picks the right one. We can't say we don't want Gyökeres because he's saying, I want Champions League football. We should be saying, okay, well, we're focused on our own battle. And if we get the Champions League, the buzz of that, we go, let's go and get Gyökeres. I'm happy with that. That's the way I would go with it. The intriguing thing for me is that we keep being linked to him And we have got this opportunity in the final that 2 weeks ago, I don't think anybody was predicting that we were going to get through Bilbao so comfortably. And a lot of people said that was the final. So look, we have to turn the Spurs game into a win. We have to turn that into the final. But I have got no problem at all with Man United winning that Europa League final and then going after Jokeres. And I don't know why anybody would, because he wants to play in the Champions League. I mean, is that not the message coming out about Liam Delap? He wants to see what's on offer at the end of the season as well. I mean, Liam Delap's not there going, I'm going to Man United, I'm going to Man United. He's going to look at the options. And if Chelsea are playing in the Club World Cup and in the Champions League, he's probably going to sign for Chelsea, isn't he? Even though we've been told that we've won that race, what I'm saying is he's clearly going to wait till the end of the season and have a look. And that, I think that's what everybody would do. So, yeah, I mean, Emily's right. The Jokeres story is not something we don't know. A player like that would always want to be in the Champions League. I agree with you, Emily. I just think some people have a problem with that. And I've seen people go, well, if he wants the Champions League, let's get Delap. But I don't see a problem. It might happen with Cunha by the sounds of it. What if Cunha speaks to Arsenal, really likes it, and just says to United, if you're not in the Champions League, I'm going to go to Arsenal. I haven't got a problem with it. I actually don't have a problem with Cunha saying to Man United, I'm going to Arsenal because they're in the Champions League and you aren't. That's our fault. Some people get very pissed off. What would piss me off about that is that we've been told he's basically coming to Man United. That's sort of what I'm going, what's going on here? Because we didn't reveal that story. That wasn't our source. We've reacted to this story because of a load of other people saying, Cunha wants to sign for Man United and it's really close. Here we go, he's coming soon. And now we're getting, he's in talks with Arsenal. So I'm sort of like, I'm not pissed off with Cunha if he signs for Arsenal. He's got every right to speak to every club he wants to speak to. I'll be pissed off with us being led up the garden path that apparently the deal was very close to being done. But honestly, if I hadn't heard what we've all heard, that this deal's very close, I expect Cunha to sign for Man United because that's what we've been told. If I hadn't heard that, I'd be sat here going, I think we need to win the Champions League to get him. Because if other clubs like Arsenal and Newcastle want him and they can offer him Champions League football and they're better than us, why would you not choose them over us? I don't have a problem with that. You know, for me, Man United's the be-all and end-all, but I understand in the modern game that footballers aren't fans. And I understand that you're going to go where you can play the best football with the best team in the best tournaments. I don't have a problem with that at all if Cunha chooses Arsenal. I don't have a problem with it. Logically, I completely understand it. But the problem is we've been told he's going to choose us. And that's what will piss me off. What's gone wrong there then? Because I don't think the journalists have got it wrong. I don't think Fabrizio Romano puts it out there that here we go, he's coming soon. And then Cunha signs for Arsenal if we don't win the Europa League. I think something's gone wrong at United, if that happens. But I still stay true to we've had too many people saying that Cunha wants to come to United. So I think it will still happen, but of course it's a concern. And it's the same with Jokeres, and it's probably the same with Edison, and it's probably the same with Frimpong, and it's probably the same with any other player that we're going to get. I think you've got to, Bilbao leads to more than Bilbao. It leads to a lot more than that. Yormar says, would you start Garnacho in the final? You know what? Look, in relation to how we assess our players, I just think there is an education piece for us all. All of us. Every day is a school day in football. We learn something new. Nobody is the oracle. And this is like, I was asked what a hipster was on That's Football the other day. A football hipster. And a football hipster is somebody who takes football, overcomplicates it, and then pretends that only they know the secret code and you can only learn it from them and years of what they've done. Bullshit. Football's the most simple game in the world. Anybody can have an opinion. A 6-year-old can have a good take. A 90-year-old can have a good take. It doesn't matter. Football is a universal sport and it is absolutely open to everybody. But what I think people try to do is they try to write rules. And it's very difficult to write rules in football about players. Because if I sit here and say Garnacho shouldn't start the final, what if he plays against Chelsea and scores a hat-trick? Of course he should start the final. If I say to you, like I did, Casemiro's done, we need to get rid of him, then he does what he's done in the last few games, we miss out on that. So it's never over for a player. It's never over. And it's very difficult to go, oh, this, that and the other. What I do know is for the next 2 weeks, I don't think any player should be getting any shit. I don't think any player should be under, you know, scrutiny of transfer or being dropped. We need competition for places. We've got West Ham on Sunday. I won't be surprised if we win. And people will go, well, our Premier League form's terrible. Mate, you're going to be really surprised. I've played the game. I've seen this happen before numerous times. You'd be surprised how many people get fit. You'd be surprised how many people start playing well 2 weeks out from a final. Because they know, like we know, this game is enormous. And we know, I would hazard a guess, there'll be more people watching the Europa League final than the Champions League final. I don't think that'll ever get publicised, but it's a bigger game. PSG against Inter won't match up to Man United against Spurs. It won't. This game's huge. And everyone's going to want to play in that game. So, look, West Ham might have been a bit of a hindrance to the players, but it won't be anymore. People will be like, I'm playing for a place in the final. I think I wouldn't be surprised if we beat West Ham quite comfortably on Sunday. And I wouldn't be surprised if we go to Chelsea and get something as well. Because I think suddenly levels are going to go up. So I wouldn't be ruling anybody out of the final at all, at all. I really, really wouldn't. And I think that, you know, when I look at Garnacho, people want to slag him off. They want to slag Dorgu off. But I look at Garnacho and Dorgu and I go, pretty much since January, they've been available and played every game. Ahmad's not been available, he's been injured. Mount's not been available, he's been injured. But suddenly, I want Mountain and Ahmad in the team and I want Garnacho out of it. And I think, you know, hold on a minute. You know, we are fans of this football club. So when those two were injured, who had to play every week? Who was turning up every week? And that doesn't mean he starts in the final. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, I think sometimes we're a bit harsh on these kids who have stayed fit and been there every week. And that's not Ahmad's fault he's injured at all. What I'm saying is, though, let's not turn on our players ahead of a big final because who knows what can happen. Competitions for places is really, really important. It's really important. And that is what we need to see, without a shadow of a doubt. And look, you know, as I was saying about Yoro last night, obviously I've had a sleep now. I haven't had any wine this morning. I said last night that Yoro's the best centre-back I've seen play for Manchester United at that age, 19 years of age, and I still can't think of anybody. He's not the finished article. He's not without, weaknesses because he's 19. But I have never seen a centre-back at 19 play that well for Manchester United. Look, people talk about Rio. At 19, Rio was still making mistakes for West Ham. He didn't move to Leeds till he was 20. Didn't sign for us till he was 23. So people trying to compare him to Rio Ferdinand, you're having a laugh. You're having a laugh. You know, potentially he's going to be better because at 19, he's way better than what Rio was. And I remember Rio at West Ham. He was making a lot of mistakes in a West Ham team that didn't have the pressure that Man United had got. So very exciting player. You know, Thierry Henry's in the mud. Arsene Wenger's had a sleepless night. And United are in the final. But there's a lot of work to be done. But look, you know, in relation to Mason Mount, like I've seen a lot of people quite rightly, he won man of the match last night. People have been giving him praise, this, that, and the other. And he, you know, he deserves it. He's not back. You know, he scored 3 goals in 2 games against Brentford and Bilbao. He's not back. Being a Man United player and being back is doing it week in, week out for 2 or 3 seasons. And that is going to be the question. And that's what we need to see. Look, I thought what Amrin said about Mason Mount after the game was fantastic. He basically said, you've got a kid here who, you know, trains the right way, eats the right way, ice baths. You know, he's doing absolutely everything he can to play for Manchester United. And it's nice to see that reward because when he's fit, he can do so much for us. But I think you always have to be even-handed here. The story about Mason Mount a few weeks ago about potentially needing an operation and being out for 6 months, the story over the last few years about Mason Mount having an underlying issue, it doesn't disappear because he scores 2 goals against Bilbao. Like, that is still there. And that is the sad thing. Like, Mason Mount won't come out and say it. Man United won't come out and say it. But it's well known. there is a real big issue with how you take this talented player in his mid-20s and make him a footballer on a consistent level. The ability is there. It's quite clearly there. But he could get injured tomorrow and be out for another 6 months. He could have that operation and be out for 6 months. Fingers crossed, the miracle will happen. He'll never get injured again and we'll get what we thought we were buying. But he is still going to be that player that might frustrate everybody when suddenly he's injured again for 3 months. That's the problem they have with Mount. And it's not his fault. He wants to play. It's not Amrim's fault. He inherited it. It's just one of those things. And I think we're all just, you know, all I think about Mason Mount is, can he get through the next 2 weeks? Because he's been fit for like nearly 2 months now, which when you look at the last 2 years, is probably the longest period he's been fit. So you're always feeling with Mount that tomorrow could be the day that he's out again. Just can he get through the next 2 weeks? Can he stay fit? Because when you look at that final, Ahmad, Mount, Garnacho, Bruno, you know, it gives you a lot of options in the area where we're going to win the game. That's where we're going to win the game. That's why we're looking at Cunha. The attacking midfield positions is where we're going to win the game. And we saw the difference that Ahmad made yesterday. It was huge, absolutely huge. Mark, with Cunha, I guarantee it's not the player, it's the clowns dragging their feet again, like Elise, says Martin. I tell you what, Martin, if we mess this deal up again, like we messed up the Elise deal again, Sir Jim should just piss off. Like, we can't do this twice for the same type of player again that would have been absolutely transformative. I think he's going to play Garnacho and Ahmad at CAM and then Bruno and Casemiro centre midfield in the finals as Trey. I can live with that. I mean, look, I think that Trey has made a great point and I'd be very interested to know whether you're watching live or if you're in the live chat. I think you've got to start having that thought process about what your ideal team for the final is. I know we always say we'll leave it to the preview, but for me, and I'm sure our editor's going to clip this up perfectly, but I want you to put yours in the comments because it'll be interesting to see in 2 weeks' time what we actually end up with. But right here, right now, if I'm picking a team to beat Spurs, I'm going Onana in goal. I'm going Dalot, right wing back. I'm going Dorgu, left wing back. I'm going Mazraoui, De Ligt and Yoro. I'm going Casemiro and Bruno. I'm going Ahmad, Garnacho and Rasmus. And I've got Mount as an impact player. I've got Maguire as an impact player. I've got Ugarte if I need legs. But that's my best team. And people are going to go, what about Maguire? What about Maguire? And Maguire's been fantastic. But I think Yoro, De Ligt and Mazraoui is our best back three. I thought Maguire was a little bit shaky last night at times. He's a brilliant, brilliant leader. And he's a brilliant, brilliant player for us. But I want to win this final. And I think Solanke, Son, Kulusevski, they're technically quick players. And I just think we'd be better off with Yoro, Mazraoui and De Ligt. That's what I would do. But look, would Amorim leave Maguire out? I don't know. Will De Ligt be back fit? But that's the team I'd go with. Will Dalot be back fit? I don't know. It's difficult to see if Dalot can start. If Dalot can't start, you put Mazraoui at right wing back and you put De Ligt next to Maguire. So look, but you know, that's sort of what I'm thinking. I think the reason I would put Bruno into the midfield and not play Ugarte and Casemiro, and it's a risk, but the reason I would do it is I think Spurs' high line, Ahmad, Rasmus and Garnacho, it's got movement. And I think we've got to look for that. But he might go a little bit more defensive and play Ugarte, Casemiro with Bruno and Ahmad and bench Garnacho, which again might not be a bad idea because you can tweak it. This will be a game of chess. I mean, look, I had a nightmare last night. Obviously, I think we were all dreaming about it. I had a nightmare last night that Casemiro got sent off in the first 10 minutes. Game over. I'm hoping that Rasmus goes up to Romero in the first 2 minutes and says something, you know, that winds him up and gets him sent off because he's a hothead. But look, we can pick and turn and twist and analyse, but the reality is that's going to be a pressure cooker game. And, you know, at the end of the day, Ange always wins a trophy in the first 2 years. Slot says all he did was top fitness for his players. Tactics, nothing much. Amrim has a mountain to climb. Also, do you think our midfield is strong, says Aki. I don't agree with Slot, by the way. I mean, you know, oh yeah, I just walked it. It's like the guy off The Office, isn't it? Yeah, I was go-karting once and somebody had accidentally left the ramp out and I'm going really, really quick, about to break the world record on that track. And I went over the ramp accidentally because it was going so quick, and you know, the instructor safety bloke there was like, oh my god, he's definitely dead. I flipped it up in the air, landed on my wheels, broke the record, and went, what was the problem? You know, bullshit. And Slot coming in, if he said, oh, it was just about fitness, I didn't do anything with the tactics, what a load of crap. It's the Premier League. You don't just send your players out and tell them to, you know, you're fine because you've done a bit of running. The tactics are huge in football these days. Look at how many too much tactics in these days, I think. Play out from the back, system, you know, passing lanes. Hello, Mark. Can we talk about how every player that went away from United are doing well? Anthony with a banger on his right foot. McTominay can't stop scoring. Even Sancho. MVR, okay. We can talk about it very, very quickly. And my answer is this. Are Man United in the Europa League final? Was that the best we could hope for this season? The answer is yes. Well done, McTominay. You were sold by Ineos. Well done, Anthony. We're going to get the money. Well done, Sancho. You shouldn't be at our football club anyway. We're in a final. Couldn't give a toss. This is, you know, Man City fans, when they're winning Premier Leagues and Champions Leagues, don't sit there going, can we have a conversation about Cole Palmer at Chelsea? Can we have a conversation about Liam Delap going to Ipswich? Can we have a conversation that Frimpong was in our youth setup? They just go, you know what? Actually, it's a sign of success. We can move players on, get money, and they do well, but we do well. That's what we're looking to do. We can't keep looking at players doing well who we've loaned out. Anthony adds nothing to this team. Nothing to this team. He doesn't suit the system. The best place for Anthony is Betis. That's fine. We need to stop going, oh, they're doing really well over there. We made a mistake. No. They're doing really well over there. Great stuff. Give us the money. We'll use that to somebody that suits our system and hopefully we'll start doing well. You can't start a fire without a spark. Amrim lit a fire under this team and some people had to get out and some people stayed to fight. And that is what we're doing. United is literally burning. We've got people fighting the fire. Some people have ran off elsewhere. That's fine. Absolutely fine. I think it's great what Anthony's doing, but he had 2.5 years at this football club and he wasn't good enough. So we cash in and we move on. Slots have done as well. Look, honestly, I couldn't give a toss. There's not part of me that's thinking, oh, Anthony or McTominay. I don't care. If McTominay wins the Napoli Scudetto, great. If Betis beat Chelsea in the final, great. I'll probably do a watch along. But it means nothing, absolutely nothing, in relation to what our job is. Our job is to win the Europa League final. If we don't win it, it won't be because we loaned Anthony out, is my point. Also reported last night by Romano and Ornstein that we made Cunha an offer on personal terms. Discussions to continue, so agents are spreading risk, says Caleb. Are you going to do a show? No, I'm not doing anything with any Spurs fans, Ian. It's not banter. It's not a laugh. It's not sit down and go, ha, this and that. I'm deadly serious. Deadly serious. I know a few Spurs fans, I'm not interested. This is real. This is real life. This is not, oh God, forfeits if we lose, bollocks. This is absolutely real. This is football. This is real. I'm not pissing about. We have to win this game. I don't know whether everybody else has had the full realization of what happens if we lose this game. What does happen? Instead of just saying, I don't think people's realised it, what happens if we lose this game? No money, no European football. Every one of our rivals, by the way, people say, oh, there'll be a way back. We'll be able to train more in the week. With what? With what? It's like cleaning diarrhea off your floor with no cleaning products and a dirty cloth. You can work all you like. You're just spreading the shit. We not in Europe means low budgets, means worse players, means we're broke. While we're broke, Liverpool, Arsenal, Man City, Chelsea, Newcastle, Spurs all have Champions League budgets. we're in trouble. We're in big, big trouble if we don't win this tournament. We have to win this tournament. So I honestly cannot sit there with Spurs fans going, oh, God, best man win or woman. Oh, the banter if we lose it. It's the banter final. Imagine if we lose it. I'm going to get roasted. Oh, God. What's the forfeit? Bog off. Bog off. Have my phone. I'm leaving. You know, it's too big. Jellyhead says, you said the Cunha deal. No, I didn't, Jellyhead. And you literally are a Jellyhead. I didn't break the Cunha deal. No, we told you about the Delap deal. And we told you that Amrin wants Anana out. I told you that Delo would be back for the final. I told you that Ahmad would be back at the end of April. We didn't break the Cunha deal at all. So, you know, stop trying to be a hater on a morning of positivity and realism. I loved Casemiro's embrace with Amrin when subbed. Shit's coming together in that squad, says Chunky. Look, Spurs and Man United, I can't split it. They've had the same season as us. We've had the same problems. And we're a Premier League side and they're a Premier League side. I think something people might be missing here is the reason we're unbeaten in the Europa League and the reason we're in the Europa League final is because we've been playing European teams. The Premier League is proven the best league in the world. We've got five teams going into the Champions League and we've got two teams in the Europa League final. All right, we're not going to win the Champions League because that's not really about league strength. That's about who's the best team in the world. But the Premier League has proven that it is the best league in the world, depth of quality, which is why we've got five places this year. It's why we've got two teams in the Europa League final. We've done well in the Europa League because we're playing European teams who can't deal with the intensity of the Premier League. We're now playing a bloody Premier League team in the final. That won't help us. They're going to be as fit and as intense as we are. This is a Premier League game for a Europa League final. I remember the Chelsea game in 08. Couldn't split us. Couldn't split us. There's no different styles of play. There's no different speeds of play. It's really difficult. I would have loved to play Bodø/Glimt in the final. I would love to have played Lazio in the final, Eintracht Frankfurt in the final, any of them. But we've got Spurs and I'll take it. But it's a hard game. It's a hard game to predict because it's basically a Premier League game in the Europa League. And any advantage we think we've got around fitness, intensity is gone. And Spurs. So really what you end up with is a very hard game to call that could come down to a worldie, could come down to a red card, could come down to a penalty. It's going to be intense. They have beat us three times this season, Blammo. Can you say happy birthday to Phil Cooper, says I love Phil Cooper. Happy birthday, Phil Cooper. Tell us what you really think, Mark. I bet it's going to buy Anthony. I think Anthony will easily get a move, Liam. Easily. I actually think Anthony will be very, very easy to sell and we could make some profit and deservedly so. And I will do a watch along for that final because I want Betis to beat Chelsea, of course. But what do I really feel? Relief. I'm relieved that we got through the Bilbao game and I'm happy that we've given ourselves this opportunity. I think saying you've got to win the Europa League to survive is very difficult when you've got two games against Sociedad, two games against Lyon, two games against Bilbao. There's a lot of jeopardy there. There's a lot of opportunity for things to go wrong. So I think we've climbed the mountain to get to the final. Unfortunately, we're not at the top of the mountain. There's now an even bigger mountain over the hill. So I'm relieved. I'm happy. And look, I am happy. I'm really happy. And I'm not trying to convince myself. I'm really happy. If you'd said to me 2 months ago, do you want a final against Spurs, 90 minutes to get in the Champions League? I'd have gone, give me that fun. Give it. Like we've done it. I don't think we cannot underestimate what we've done to get here. I know there'll be nerves. I know there'll be stress. Amrin said it himself. But we can't underestimate what we've done to get here. We've put in a lot of work to get here. One game more. All I'm saying is I'm fully aware of the enormity of the game and how it's not a foregone conclusion and how it literally is going to be an epic game. And I can feel, and experience gives you this, Casemiro will feel like this, many of you will feel like this, I know what it's going to feel like to win that game. And I know it because we felt that before. I also know what it's going to feel like to lose that game because I felt that before. So whether it's 09 in Rome, whether it's Aguero, whatever. So that's where we are. We can't have any injuries in the next couple of games, but we've got to play everybody. I'd wrap Ahmad up in cotton wool if I could. I think he is so important in that final third. So important. He looks better than he did before the injury. But yeah, it could be really interesting in the next couple of weeks about which team picks up injuries and stuff. I guarantee you there will be. We just got to hope it's not ours. But as I said last night, I would be playing people as much as I can within reason. Like, I try and get everybody 90 minutes in the next two games, whether it's half an hour and an hour, but nobody should be playing 180. And yeah, you know, let's get 90 minutes into Ahmad. Let's get 90 minutes into Rasmus. Let's get 90 minutes into Garnacho, Mount, everybody. Everybody needs to be in that green zone of fitness and ready to go. And I want, you know what? I don't know why at this point it wouldn't happen. In 2 weeks' time, or 2 weeks, well, it's less, it's nearly a week and a half now. I want to look at that starting lineup and I want to look at that bench and go, options, options, you know? First time in a while that there's a handful of our players that I really like. It's really refreshing, says Like Schofield. Mate, look at last night. I think it's on the community tab. And I'll tell you who won that one as well. Look at that last night. Four man of the match contenders. And how often do we have that in a big game? Four man of the match contenders. And as we said, none of them were Bruno for whatever reason. In relation to Bruno, look, what I would like to see with Bruno, and I don't think we're going to get it, is a statement coming out about Bruno saying that he's staying at Manchester United. I think that whilst nobody's massively to blame, I completely understand why he was a little bit off last night. Not massively. I think he tried his best. I think, you know, the passion was there. I just don't think it was vintage Bruno in a game where you would expect it. But when you've got people offering you 1.25 million a year and you're thinking about your family life, you're thinking about a big decision, human beings. It's all right. If you're Man United's captain and for the last few days your name's been in the press constantly, your agent's saying, Bruno, this money is ridiculous and they're not going to stop. You're speaking to your family about it going, I don't want to go, but the money, this, that and the other. You know, my experience in life is you can't control the things that you think you can. The straw that breaks the camel's back. If every human being could be in control of their emotions and the things that are going on, they'd be fine. But we all know about mental health. We all know about all sorts of things. You can't control what your body is reacting to stuff sometimes. And I think that this Bruno Saudi thing just needs to disappear quick, because the longer it goes on, we've got a big final to deal with. And I don't think he needs that in his head about, if we win this game, I'll probably stay. If we lose this game, maybe I'll have a look at it. You know, the timing's not great, which is why I was saying we shouldn't be talking about how shit Onana is, or, you know, Garnacho or anything like that. We've just got to focus on the next 2 weeks. There's going to be 3 months instantly to talk about all that. The minute we've won the Europa League, you can talk about selling whoever you want and buying whoever you want, but got to get behind the team. We've got a part to play. We've all got a part to play. There needs to be excitement going into this final, not doubt. I would just say that about Dorgu as well. I said this after the last game. I don't really understand what happens in the world really anymore. I think that there is a lot of anger in the world. I think there's a lot of contempt in the world. I think there's a lot of aggression in the world. And I wish we could extinguish that, because in general, I think that you worry about the world we live in when there is so much conflict and hate and toxicity. We should choose positivity where we can. And in a footballing sense, I worry about some of the stuff I read and see about some of our players, like Dorgu, who was always potential. Like, I did a career mode and brought him in
2 years ago, I think it was, on a career mode when he wasn't even at Lecce. He is a potentially really good player, but potentially is the word. Man United decided, because this is what we do now, let's buy as many potentially good teenagers as possible. He didn't turn up at Man United and say, I'm better than Nuno Mendes, play me every minute. Man United went and bought a potential player in a relegation battle halfway through the season from Italy. They then played him every week in a pressure cooker environment in the worst Man United Premier League side in history. And now people are going, he's fucking shit. What a waste of money he was. What were you expecting? It's like me saying to you, I've got £1 in my pocket, I'm going to the shop. And I come back with a Mars bar and you go, oh God, I thought you were going to get me a takeaway. What, with a pound? And I know that's different because, you know, I'm not talking about the value of Dorgu. What I'm talking about is the reality of Dorgu. Like, what were you expecting from a 20-year-old who is just potential and has had to play every week? He should be the understudy to an experienced left back learning the ropes at a big club in a difficult league. Instead, he's playing every minute of every game in a season that's a bloody nightmare, and there is zero patience around that. But I don't get the point. I don't get the problem with Dorgu. Yeah, sometimes his final ball lets him down. Yeah, sometimes he mistimes his tackles. But for a 20-year-old in that Man United side, I see the positives outweighing the negatives way more than, as I say, the negatives. He gets into really good positions. He overlaps a lot. He's got really good pace. He's got really good stamina. And he will get better and better. But that's always going to be hindered when people are going, he's shit, getting into his Instagram posts and everything like that. It's weird behaviour. Really weird behaviour, because not everybody's Yamal and not everybody's Yoro. Like, some people are Paul Scholes, who at 20 wasn't what he is in his mid-20s. Rio Ferdinand at 19 was not Lenny Yoro. People need to do some bloody research and realise that some of the greats we've had from the past were nowhere near at 19 and 20. I mean, Dorgu at 20 is better than Abra ever was, and Evra became a bloody legend. So context is key. We've got to support these players, especially players like that. Kuna would rather join a team that challenges, says Zane Miassi, Arsenal fan. And Love United, Hate the Ops says, I just remembered you said you had a dream we lost the final to Spurs. It would be very typical of us to give them a trophy. And that Ange quote. Yeah, well, we just got to deal with it. MBRCO says, spot on, Mark. United never been so bad. We should get more positive because the only way is up. I really hope the board trust and backs Amrin. Keep it up. Thank you, mate. Hope you have a great day. First time in a while that there's a handful of players that I really like. It's refreshing. Right, I'm going to go and get a cup of tea. We've got a very good video going up on That's Football. Very good. Very soon. Robert McCormack says, Is Agate the answer if can't start the final? Robert, I don't care about that question. It doesn't matter to me. I think Agate is going to be a really good player for Man United. I think he's shown signs this season. Yes, there are issues with his passing, but I think a proper pre-season, settled in the Premier League, I can see him doing a Gravenberch where there were signs in the first year and then the second year is a lot better. I don't agree with the Agate stuff. I think there are really good signs there. And I think next season we will see that. But maybe Amrin will decide it's not there and we'll move him on. But I think people are in a big rush to write players off. I wouldn't be surprised if Rasmus was still at the club next year and scored 15 goals with a senior striker to work with. I wouldn't be surprised if Agate started most games next season and was brilliant. I wouldn't be surprised, because I think there's so much uncertainty around whether we can win this final, whether we can invest in the team, whether we have a good pre-season, and whether we've got a better team next season. But we do need competition for places, 100%. Fantastic show this morning. Thanks, everybody, for watching. We're back at 2 o'clock. We've got an 8 o'clock show for you tonight as well. I am absolutely excited, but I've got to say the nerves are kicking in already, and it's 2 weeks away. It's going to be a hell of a 2 weeks, and it's going to be a hell of a watch along that night. But at least we'll be in it together. Make sure you smash a like and subscribe. I'll speak to you in a bit. Oh, before I go as well, if you want to get early on this, I did mean to mention it earlier. If you check around the tags and everything like that, we've actually got a new bit of merch that's dropped for the final. It's very Bilbao centric. It's we did this for the we've done this for every final. We did it for the FA Cup final last year. So if you want to get yours while you can, we do ship them worldwide. Commemorative bit of merch heading to Bilbao. Get yours now. We will be live at 8 o'clock, Mike. Yeah, we've also got Euro t-shirts as well that we did from last summer. So check them out. Thanks everyone for watching. We'll speak to you all in a bit.